for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2014 Midwinter Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, Saturday evening, December the 27th, 2014. Howard Pittman is the speaker of the evening, teaching on Five Dreams.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. We bring you greetings in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Indeed, it is good to be with you again here. I think we're pretty close to 30 years having come at least once a year. Sometimes in the early years we came twice, but for the last 10 or maybe 15 years we've been coming the last week in December, and we're getting close to our 30th year of having attended.
Amen.
We've been coming here a long time.
Amen.
It's always like coming back home to come here. We've seen so many different people come through here. A lot of them's already in glory. But this was a great stop before they got there. It was a great stop. You know, the Bible says that God will do nothing without first warning His servants, the prophets. Sometimes He warns us in different ways. Suppose you had a gigantic problem and it was really going to take extreme knowledge to solve it. Would it be wonderful if you could just ask God how to do that and He'd write you a little letter and give you the explanation? Wouldn't that be wonderful?
Yeah.
Wonder if perhaps you might have missed one of those letters that God did write. Oh, yes. Not the kind of letters that you get in the mail. But He writes letters nonetheless. And we're going to talk about some of those that He wrote to me in warning me. 7 years, seven long years before He killed me, He told me He was going to. The Bible said, for God speaketh once, yes, twice, yet men perceive it not in a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep fall upon men, and slumbering upon the bed. Then He opened the ears of men, and sealeth their instructions. Did you hear that? I'm reading from God's Word. Do you believe His Word?
Yes. Amen.
Then He gives you instructions at night. Every night, He said.
Yeah.
But what did He say? Half of you don't hear it.
Wow.
What did He say? For God speaketh once, yes, twice, yet men perceive it not. Why? You know, in the very beginning, over in the Eastern culture of our world, they believe there's three sources of knowledge. Your physical senses, your ability to reason, and your contact with the spirit world. But in America, we're too big for that. We're too sophisticated to contact the spirit world. We believe our sources of knowledge come from our ability to reason and our physical senses. We threw away a major part of being able to hear when God speaks.
Amen.
We threw it away. Because our tradition says those things don't happen. What did Jesus say to the Pharisee? By your tradition, things. You have made my Father's law of none effect. Was he talking just to the Pharisee?
No.
Or was he talking to us too?
Yes.
By our traditions,
yes,
we have made our Father's law of none effect. We can't read his letters. We can't hear him speak. Because we don't believe that he does. How many people have you heard say, God told me? But then, was it really the real God? You know, there is a counterfeit God. You can read about him in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. And he just happens to be the God of this world, who also talks to people when they're sleeping. You better learn the voice of God and how to read his letters. Then he opened the ears of men and sealed their instructions. See, he talked to your spirit. And that's where we've got a problem. Communicating with our spirit. Because we are too sophisticated to contact the spirit world as Eastern cultures do. See, our religion is about 35 minutes per week. Well, we go to church more than that on Wednesday night and Sunday, but we only listen for about 35 minutes and then we forget by the time we get out of the church building. But you see, in Eastern culture, the religion is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. It's part of their everyday life, all day long, where I should be. And he may withdraw man from his purpose and hide pride from man. He keepeth back his soul from the pit and his life from perishing by the sword. God says he saved so many lives for the people that hurt him when he gave them warning. Remember, he said he'd do nothing without first warning his servants, the prophets. He is chastened also with pain upon his bed, and the multitude of his bones strong with pain, so that his life abhorred bread and his soul that he meat. He's sick. He's so sick. He won't even eat. His body is filled with pain continually. He's wasting away. I remember so many times in my life. 26 years I worked in law enforcement. So many times I stood on the edge of the grave and the other put on a banana peel, so to speak. And at the last moment, God snatched me back. And I went away thinking how lucky I was. Instead of how blessed I really was.
Amen.
I didn't know. In my ignorance, I didn't know either where I was. So that he don't eat, his flesh is consumed away that cannot be seen, and his bones were seen to stick out. Yet his soul draweth nigh to the grave, and his life to the destroyer. If there be a messenger with him, an interpreter, somebody to read what God's telling that spirit. If there be, to interpret one amongst those and to show unto man his uprightness. If you can find him, then he is gracious unto him. And he said, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. I have found a lesson. Then his flesh shall be fresher than a child. He shall return to the days of his youth. He shall pray unto God, and he will be favorable unto him. And he shall see his face with joy, for he will render unto man his righteousness. He looketh upon men, and if any say, I have sinned, and perverted that which was right, and it profit me not, he will deliver his soul from going into the pit, and his life shall see the light. Well, all these things work at God, oftentimes with man. All of these things, many times he worked with him on the edge of the grave, because they found a way to hear what he had to say. I remember well, even though I'm 86 years old, I remember well when I went to school the first day of my life. I remember it so vividly because my school teacher was my second cousin.
Wow.
And back then, education thought you were a terrible individual if you had to try to write with your left hand.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was born left-handed. Yeah. And she was going to make me perfect. And she had a 12-inch oak ruler to prove it to. And each time she caught me with my pen in my left hand, she would turn it over like this and give me about 12 of those licks with it and make me put my pen in the other hand. And then she'd stand there and say, make this letter, and after a while she'd give up frustrated. She never could make me do it because I couldn't do it. And she didn't know I couldn't. She thought that was something physical.
Yeah.
But you see, the people that operate, that are born left-handed, it is the right side of their brain that operates that.
Yeah.
People that's born right-handed, it's the left side of their brain. Mm-hmm. And you can't change it.
Yeah.
But they didn't know that in those days. Department of Education didn't know that. They thought they could change, you see. So, a little later on, she began to try to teach me how to read instead of write. And then she brought in all kind of pictures. And this is how I learned to read. I had to read the pictures. I had to learn to read the pictures first. Every picture had an element. You see, that's the kind of letters that God writes in his dreams and visions.
Yeah.
It's pictures. Picture letters. In the earliest part of the 70s, I was working full time as a New Orleans police officer in the daytime. I mean, at nighttime, full time duty. In daytime, I was in the seminary. Just as the year began to change, end of one year and the beginning of another, I think it was on the 30th night of December, one of the years, I went to bed, I guess about 11:30. I was in the seminary at that time, and the seminary was out for the holidays. That meant we didn't have to go to school. So I was getting a little break. I was still working at night on the police department, and I got off at about 11 or 12 o'clock, came home, went to bed at night. I don't know how long it was before I had a dream. It was the most unique dream I've ever had in my life. Never saw anything like that before. It was like looking at a screen, a movie screen. I'm sitting here looking at that screen, and I'm looking at myself, sitting in a rocking chair, rocking back and forth, with a cool breeze blowing in my face. Ever been in a position like that? How wonderful you feel? So comfortable, not a care in the world, not a problem. On the bed, right next to where I was sitting, was my mother in this dream. And she was dying. And I was unconcerned. I was so comfortable, so peaceful. In a moment, I felt a sharp pain in my hand. And I looked down and there was this giant dog that had my whole hand in his mouth. This was all in this dream. Although I could feel the pain, I was not afraid. So I got up from my chair. I walked to the door with the dog holding on my hand. I got to the door, opened the door, put my hand out and turned me loose and I slammed the door. All of this in that dream. I could see that dog in my mind running around the house. And I knew he was heading to the back door. So I ran through the house, and I arrived at the back door on the inside just as he arrived on the outside. As he jumped, made his leap to come in, I jumped on this side with my shoulder and closed the door. As he hit it, bounced off. I woke up. Amazing. I never had a dream like that. I mean, it really puzzled me because it wasn't like an ordinary dream. It was like actually looking at a movie. See, that was really a letter that God sent me. Well, I couldn't read because I didn't believe it. I didn't think God did things like that. But I knew it was a unique dream. It was different from anything I ever had. I puzzled about it for a little while. Then marched it up as being unusual. Went back to sleep. 2 nights later, went to bed. Had the second dream. Strange. She was just like the first one. It wasn't soft around the edges. It was like looking at a movie screen. I saw myself standing on the stoop of a three-story building. Just standing there, and I'm looking up. Because I hear a dog barking. There was a dog in that first dream. And I hear a dog barking. And I hear another dog howling like he was in great pain. Two dogs, one barking, just like a dog barks, and the other one howling. So I open the door of this building, and I go in. It's empty. One or two pieces of furniture, and that was all. But I still hear the dog. So I go upstairs, and it was the same thing in that building. Just one or two pieces of furniture. But I still hear the dog, but don't see him. I start to go up the third story, and just as I got to the top of the stairs, I saw a closet door. I opened the door, and there was two dogs in the closet. They looked like they were twins, except one was white, one was black. They looked like Scottish Terriers. The black dog was laying on its side. The white dog was sitting on top of it, biting his neck. And that's what made him holler. And when I opened the door, the white dog ran out, down the stairs, and was gone. I turned and walked to the window and looked out to see where the dog was. And he was playing. He was a cute little dog, playing with people. As they walked by, they'd pick him up and pet him and play and play. And then, all of a sudden, he turned into a monster and moved all those people into a fire furnace. I woke up. Strange dream. Again, connected with dogs, strange dream. I knew it was odd. I knew it had to be a purpose behind it. I didn't know what it was. I didn't know God was talking to me. He was sending me a letter. He was telling me something very, very important. I didn't know what it was. See, he was warning me. 2 nights later, I was asleep. Had another dream. In this dream, I was walking through a forest. Great, big, tall, green pine trees. In the background were snow-covered mountains all around me. And I'm walking this trail right through those trees, looking at the mountains covered in snow as I walk through. At the end of the trail, I see this ranch-style house with a great big picture window. And I'm carrying a sack of dog food on my shoulder in this dream. I get to this house, and I look in that window, and I see a big, long table like a banquet. People sitting around the table eating. And I recognize those people. They were my family, but I'd never seen them before. But I knew they were my family. I'd never seen them before. And then my sister-in-law came out. She invited me to come in and partake of the banquet. I said, no, I have a job to do. So I went into the backyard with this dog food, and I'm going to feed a dog. Great big German shepherd runs out and starts trying to bite me. But every time he tried to bite me, like I had an invisible comb around me, he'd run into that comb, he'd bounce off. And I never worried, wasn't afraid. Because I knew he couldn't bite me. I'm fixing his food. And before I get through, I hear this noise, and I turn around and look, and I see this big microphone, magnetophone, sticking out of the sky. And that magnetophone, a voice spoke to me in that dream with that microphone. The substance of what he said was muffled. But then he told me it amounted to the fact that my father had been assassinated in a political coup, and I woke up. Another dull dream. Three of them. 2 days apart. Then, the next night, I went to sleep. I had two dreams that night. That was the seventh day that these dreams were on. All connected with a dog. All writing me letters, every one. Yeah. The Lord will do nothing without first warning his servants to prophet.
Yeah.
You just got to hear what he says. And I couldn't hear him. What he was telling me, the first dream was, this is the night that I'm going to have two dreams, the seventh night of these dreams. I'm looking at the movie screen again, and I'm looking at me as I walk down a cobblestone path. On either side was a whitewashed cottages with thatched roofs. Instantly I knew I was looking at a scene in England. As I walked down that path, I got to the end of it. That's my house. My house. And a little plaque over the door said, Fir Tree Cottage. Fir Tree Cottage. God was telling me I was going to go to England. I was going to go to spend time in the Fir Tree Cottage. 7 years before I went.
Mm-hmm.
7 years before I went. I got to the house. I opened the door. I went in and there was my family come rush to greet me. But I'd never seen them before. Had never seen them, but I knew they were my family. I'd never seen them before. And I'm standing there talking to them, greeting them. I said, I want to go out in the garden. The garden in England is a flower garden. And when I walked out the back door, beautiful flowers of all kinds were in the garden. My family came out and stood across from me. Then my dog came. Fourth dream with a dog in it. A dog came. He was a big, big, long-haired collie dog. Big dog. He stood up, put feet on my shoulder, and when he stood on the back leg, he was as tall as I was. And I'm petting him, and my family was standing there watching me. And then I heard the back gate open to the garden. I looked, and my father, although he had no face, walked in that room, in that garden. I knew it was my father, but he didn't have a face. He came, and when he did, my dog left me and attacked him. And I went over and tried to help him get the dog off, and the family was standing away cheering the dog on as he was attacking my home. I woke up. 4-3 in 7 nights. I guess I must have stayed awake for an hour trying to figure out. By now I knew something was going on, but I didn't know what it was. Every one of those dreams was connected by a dog. Every one of them. Somehow, I don't know how much later it was, but it was quite a bit later because I racialized over that dream. I went back to sleep, and I had the fifth and last dream. It come. In this dream, I saw myself again. I'm walking down the sidewalk in my hometown. I'm on my way to City Hall because we had just elected a new mayor. A physician, his name was Dr. White. He had got elected mayor, and he had called me on the telephone and asked me to come to City Hall. He wanted to give me a position in his new government. But he wouldn't tell me what position it was, so I got to City Hall. So I come to City Hall. I go in and all the people were standing around talking in big little groups. They was all, and they was talking about how blessed we were. We got the right man for mayor. But I had a check in my spirit. I didn't feel like we got the right man for mayor. But then Sam, one fellow was talking to me and he says, he was bragging on how great it was, how wonderful it was, how blessed we was to get the right mayor. And then he looked at me because of, I guess my expression gave away. He was saying, aren't you glad we got him? And just at that moment, the new mayor walked in. He came over and shook hands with me and started telling me what kind of job he wanted me to do. But I couldn't understand him. He said, wait, I'll tell you again. Just about that time, a siren went off and here come a jailbreak. A bunch of prisoners run past us through the city hall. At the same time, two police officers having police dogs came in and they turned the dogs loose and sent them after the prisoners. But the dogs ran, filtering the dogs in. But the dogs ran past the fleeing prisoners and attacked the innocent bystander. I came forward and gave a command to the dog and they stopped, turned around and crawled back to me. The mayor said, oh, we need you to train our dogs. I said, Mr. Mayor, it's not your dogs that needs training, it's your man. He said, let's go outside, I want to talk to you. I could see he was mad at me now because I couldn't perceive, I couldn't understand what he was saying. Now listen to this, we go outside. He's got a brand new automobile. As a mayor, he got a new automobile. He wants me to ride in his new automobile. Only problem was, it was a 53 model Chevrolet. And it was a brand new automobile to him. It was brand new. Color, white and blue. He said, now you sit in the front seat. I'm going to sit in the back. So he get in the back seat. I get in the front seat. There's an individual already in the car behind the steering wheel. This individual has no face. No face at all. The mayor's sitting behind me, so I turn and put my right, I don't turn left this way. So I turn my back on the driver and look at the mayor over my right shoulder and I ask him, now tell me what you want me to do. At that moment, the car shot backwards and hit a tree. I woke up. The five dreams. As I stand here tonight, I can tell you I have lived four of those dreams out just like they were given to me 7 years before my experience. 7 years. I recorded those dreams when it happened because I didn't know what they were, but I put them on tape. And for 7 years, I played those tapes everywhere I had a chance to play them and see if anybody could give me any information of what they might be. They were a detailed picture of exactly to the day what was going to happen to me. And the fifth dream relates to the very end. I've lived out four of them. Just like he gave them to us. In fact, when I went to England, I stayed in the fir tree cottage. Just as a dream said I would 7 years before. He showed me what he was going to do. What did he say to Ananias? Go down there and commission Paul and show him how much he's going to suffer from me. I know what pain is. Third day of August 1979, a paramedic judged me to be dead in an ambulance as a result of a massive internal hemorrhage when an aneurysm ruptured. That is, across the back of my chest, there's a major artery. And on that artery, a solid ulcer had formed. And slowly eat away the wall of that artery until it ballooned out like a balloon. It reached a place where it could not withstand the pressure of the heartbeat, it popped just like sticking a pin in the balloons. Paramedic judged me to be dead when all my vital life signs failed. On that day, a tremendous battle occurred. From Friday afternoon to Monday morning, while I was unconscious, so to speak, the battle that was occurring in the physical realm as the doctors continued in a desperate effort to preserve whatever spark of life in his physical body. But while that battle was going on, I wasn't even in that body, because the angels had taken my spirit out of that body, carried me into the spirit world, and gave me a tour. The first thing they showed me was Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, being acted out like a stage play with all of its characters. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world in high, wicked spiritual places." A description of a satanic, demonic, spiritual government where the warfare plans are literally being drawn up against the saints of God. I grew up in what we call back home the basic mainstream of the fundamentalist movement, where our teachings was related to love, mercy, grace, and salvation, which is the bedrock of Christianity. But it had nothing to do with a third of the Bible, which I had missed. Totally and completely. Growing up, for 30 years I have been in the church. I attended a denominational college and a denominational seminary and never heard a sermon in my entire life on the devil. Very seldom had ever heard the word demon in the church. Had never heard it. Didn't know what I believed about demons. Didn't know what I believed about the devil. But God was fixing to show me what He said was real.
Yes.
He said what He said, and He meant what He said. And He was going to show me. You see, I believed what I believed because I had been taught it so well. We go back to this tradition again. I could argue the Bible with anybody. I believed what I believed, and I believed it so well, no man was going to change my position. There was no argument anybody could make to change me. No argument. No scripture they could quote was going to change me. There was only one thing that was going to change my mind. God killed me. He killed me. He got my attention. He got my attention. He showed me what He meant, and He meant what He said. You see, for 30 years, I was supposed to be a preacher, and I had missed a third of the gospel, because my tradition would not allow me to believe anything else. My tradition. Be very careful what you believe, and know what you believe. Satan is real. Demons are real. The war is raging now greater than it ever has in the history of this world. The entire world is on fire. It's crumbling all around us. And our Christians are asleep soundly. Worrying about movie stars and football games and everything but what we ought to be concerned about. Everything except what we ought to be concerned about is what's going on in this world right now. Why? The only people on earth that could have changed it was us, don't you know that? If we'd just been real. But we played. We played the devil's game. And we're going to pay the price for it too. Old Paul paid the price. He suffered greatly. But he served God through all his pain to the very end.
Yeah.
What a crown he's wearing today. Or what's waiting for him today? Because my Bible said he won't get his crown till we get ours. If we get ours. You can get it when we do. He showed me what spiritual warfare is. And where it is a designed outright attack in an attempt to destroy Christianity. Let's go back and look at the dream where the megaphone of the sky was telling me that my father had been assassinated in a coup. What was he telling me then? He's telling me the hierarchy of the established church has been taken over by Satan.
My God.
That's what he was telling me. When I'm sitting in a rocking chair as a preacher paying no attention to my mother lying dying, he represents the church. The church dying right next to me, and I'm totally not concerned. No concern. It was going to take pain to wake me up. That's when the dog bit my hand.
Jesus.
It took the pain. 7 years before it happened. I'm going to give my entire testimony at our next meeting. All of it. And what I saw in that spiritual realm. And what he told me about the one dream that I have not yet lived out. The fifth dream. That relates to the man of sin. The Antichrist. A human being. That's going to rule this world. The days of martyr is coming back. They're coming back. As the church was born, so will it end. Ecclesiastes 1:13, what has been will be again. Not maybe, it will be. Ecclesiastes chapter 1. What has been will be again. The church was born in great tribulation. It's going home in greater tribulation. As I read the Fox's Book of Martyrs, and I was looking at those people that they would bring up to the line, to the edge of the lion's den, and they would say to the husband, never to the wife, bring the whole family, the husband, the wife, and all the children and stand in there. And they'll say to the husband, now, you want to take your family and go home? All you have to do is deny Jesus Christ publicly and hail Caesar. And if he says, Jesus is Lord, none other, then they push the kids to the lions and make you stand there and watch. As they tear them apart, screaming, Daddy, help me, help me. And you can't help them. They're holding you in chains. Could you stand there and watch your children destroyed? Yet they did. In the days of Rome, they did. Had to have the power of God to do that. But if you belong to God, you can get that power.
Yes.
If you belong to God, you're very well going to need it soon.
Yes.
If the church don't wake up. See, over and over, I could have changed all this thing. All I had to do was become a real Christian. But I didn't have sense enough to read what he was telling me. I didn't know what he was telling me. Well, I know now. I know. I remember my wife and I was, while I was a preacher, we started a ministry in our own home. We had 32 children in our home. Abused, neglected, and thrown away by the world. Every one of them, that's where I realized that I had missed something. I didn't know what it was I had missed. But all those little kids, as they began to grow close in our home, and the deep, dark, hidden scars of their life began to come to the surface. I realized those children were all crying for help. They needed help. I couldn't help them. I didn't know what the problem was. I didn't know anything about the devil. I didn't know anything about demons. The last little girl they brought to our house that day, the day they brought him, she was locked up with a cat. The only thing she had to eat for the past week was the droppings of that cat. And the demon-possessed individual that had her delighted in torturing her by putting out his lighted cigarettes on the bottom of her bare feet. That is not human. No matter what you think, that is not human. But I didn't even know what it was. I had no teaching and no education concerning the demon realm. But God quickly showed me what I had missed. He's real. And every scar you have in your heart was put there by Him. It was put there by Him. I bet you don't even know what He looked like when He come to your house last, do you? He didn't have two horns, a goatee and a pitchfork. You want to remember what He looked like? Reach down in your heart, pull that last car out. Who hurt you? Wasn't no devil, it was a friend. It was a relative. What a great disguise.
Wow.
You'll never see him as a devil. He is a marvelous counterfeit angel of light. He comes through friends, relatives, and all those. Don't get mad at them. They didn't know they were being used. He was using them. And they didn't know it. He's real. We'll go further into this testimony in our next meeting. I want to ask right now if you would stand with me just a moment. This Bible tells me right here that if two of us assemble ourselves together in the name of Jesus Christ, two or more, He's in the midst. I came in His name and I know you came in His name. Now, He said, if we two would agree on that one thing, just one thing, the Father would grant it. Do you have something you need desperately to make you a better soldier? Is it knowledge? Is it wisdom? Is it understanding? Or is it something physical that you've, pain that you have you need to get over? Or are you visited by one of those demons? Whatever your problem is tonight, one problem. We want to deal with that one problem. Now you just lift that problem to God from your heart right now. You don't have to say it out loud. You just say it to Him. See, God reads your mind. You don't have to speak words to God. Just thank Him. He knows every thought in your head. I want to agree with you that God will grant your request tonight. If you ask for that one problem that you're dealing with, I want to agree with you in prayer tonight. While I pray, if you want me to agree with you, just lift your head to heaven. Father, I thank You for this opportunity to come tonight and stand before these, my brothers and sisters, in Your name, that You brought here tonight. Every person that's here tonight, come by Your invitation, especially for this meeting tonight. Lord, I come in Your name, according to Your word, Matthew chapter 18, verse 20. And I'm going to agree with my brothers and sisters that have given that problem to You tonight, as they lift their hands to help them. I stand in agreement with them, according to Your word, right here in the Scripture. And I ask that You grant it to them and let them know this, that they might come back to this building in the next meeting and testify what You have done for them this night, Lord. Because You said, if we believe, we will receive. One condition is very important to receive this answer. And that condition is if you have anything against anyone, you must forgive them. No matter as a Brother Miller spoke tonight, no matter how much it might hurt, it must be forgiven so that God will forgive you and then He will grant your request. Thank you, Father, according to your word. We receive it in your name, in the name of Jesus Christ. Bless these people and keep them safe as they go to their home tonight. Amen and amen. Brother Pastor, you come, or you want to close? Just close like it is. Father, we ask again in your name to bless this meeting. Bless these people according to your word. And Lord, as they travel to their home tonight or to whatever place they're going to, keep them safe. I commit them into your hands. Rebuke this enemy according to your word, Father. We know he's a liar, he's a thief, and he's a murderer. Tonight, we speak life over all of the people here. We don't know what waits outside that door. But we know who holds what waits outside that door. You do. Everything is in your hand. I'm committing these people's safety tonight in your hand. Thank you once again for this fellowship. And it is a fellowship because you, these people here, are the church. A building's not a church. It's the people that make up the building. Those are the church. And this is a fellowship. And in your hands, I commit them this night for safekeeping, Father. In your name, we ask these blessings. Amen.
Amen.
Good night. God bless you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.